Prayer is going to be led by our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. And our speaker this morning is our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled Miracle on Straight Street. That's Miracle on Straight Street. The scripture for this morning's sermon be taken from the New Testament book of Acts chapter 9 and verses 10 through 11. And the scripture reader for this morning is our brother Greg Shriver. Presiding at the Lord's table will be brother Wiley Edwards and myself. And this morning we'll be dismissed in prayer by our brother Greg Shriver. Now our first song this morning will be hymn number 635. Making sure brother Trey wasn't changing it. 635. That'll be our first song this morning, hymn number 635. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Our Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and the health and strength and mental wherewithal, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds, Father, that we can gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that if there be in the audience this morning, Father, any that are subject to Thy invitation in any way, Father, that You might bless them and touch them with the courage to make those needs known, Father, while Your grace and mercy is extended to them, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that all that we do be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father, and conducted decent and in order. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
635. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all our day long. While there are others living above us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father, alone will do all about it. Father, alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. Will understand it all by word. When they pass over, they hear our voice. It leaves our homes so lonely and drift. There will be wonder by living so wicked, hereafter dear. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, this is the sunshine. Will understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from His home in the sky, then we shall be Him in that right mansion. will understand it all by
and by. Before we go into God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books to page 957. 957. We'll sing all three.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right, will he call me? If my heart is right, I will be. If my heart is right, will he call me? I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white, will he call me? If my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white, will he call me? I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father. We know that it was you that woke us up this morning, Heavenly Father, that gave this opportunity to enjoy another day to enjoy all thy blessings, all that thou hast created, to be able to come together and worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. And we just so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for thy guidance, and for being by our sides, Heavenly Father, for we know that any concerns that we may have, Heavenly Father, that we don't have to be overwhelmed by any stress in this life, things that we may worry about, Heavenly Father, for we know that you are by our side. You will not allow us to be overcome by anything, Heavenly Father. We know we can turn to you in prayer, and that you will get us through any situation, any problem that we may face, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that also you will continue to watch over us as we begin this week, Heavenly Father, that we will, when we face any issues, Heavenly Father, that we won't deal with them the way the world will want us to deal with them, Heavenly Father, that we'll deal with them as you would want us to deal with them in a Christian manner. For we know that we can come to you in prayer. We know that we can read thy word, Heavenly Father, that we have all that we need to be able to handle anything in this life, that we have no excuse, Heavenly Father. We know that we can handle everything according to thy word. We also just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with those that are mentioned sick, that they will be receive the care that is needed so they can be returned to their much-wanted health. Also be with those that have lost loved ones that may be grieving at this time. Heavenly Father, we know how difficult a time this can be for people. And we just pray that you will comfort them at this time, that they will receive all the support that they need as they get through this most difficult time. We also pray that you will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin as he prepares the lesson for this morning. We just appreciate the effort that he puts together each and every week as he put together these lessons, and we just pray that we'll give him our undivided attention, that we'll take that which that we learned today, and that we'll be able to apply to our lives, Heavenly Father. Also pray that you will be with the world leaders of this nation, to be with the people of this world. You know, as we see, Heavenly Father, still a lot that is wrong with this world. You know, we see that the conflicts that we have, and the hatred that is still exists in this world. We just pray that people will turn to thy example, Heavenly Father, so we can make this world a much better place, a much more peaceful place to live in. We know that it can be done, Heavenly Father, if people would just give themselves to you, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you would be with the leaders of this congregation also as they continue to make sure our worship service is according to thy will. Be with those that attend to the needs of this building to make sure that everything is always in order, Heavenly Father. That they continue to make sure that we are safe as we attend worship service, that we can stay healthy. We appreciate everything that they do, Heavenly Father, all those that help and to make sure that our worship service is according to thy will, and also that we are also safe as we are here. And we just say, Heavenly Father, continue to watch over us, be with us as we begin this week. Forgive us of our sins and help us to avoid any temptations that may turn us away from you. And with these things that we all pray for in thy son Jesus' name, amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 300. 300. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
When I survey the thank you.
Come now to the portion of our worship service where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read a couple verses here to provide some biblical reference for the Lord's Supper so we know what it is and what it represents. So I'm going to read from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start at verse 23 there. This is the Apostle Paul describing what the Lord's Supper is. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As we just read, Lord's Supper consists of two emblems, the bread, which represents the body of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. This isn't a common meal like we go to and eat at home. This is a spiritual meal, a time for us to clear our hearts, clear our minds, reflect back on the cross and reflect back on Christ and what his sacrifice means for each and every one of us, especially in the context of eternal salvation. So let's keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, as we partake first of the bread. We'll offer thanks and partake, and then for the cup or the fruit of the vine. So at this time, would you bow with me as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just so mindful and thankful of thy Son and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Father. Thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to set the example that he set, Father, all of his teachings, Father, but ultimately his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father, is horrible and painful crucifixion, Father, torturous death. But in his sacrifice, Father, in his willingness to become that perfect Lamb of God, Father, we have that opportunity of eternal salvation with thee, Father. So at this time, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us clear our hearts and clear our minds and reflect back on the cross, Father. And that in doing so, Lord, that we might partake of this bread which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. Our Father who art in heaven, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Father, for having mercy on all souls by allowing your Son to go to the cross and shed his precious blood, his precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the bread and the cup, but it's possible somebody might have been inadvertently missed. So if you happen to be missed in the passing of either emblem, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we're going to move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the new week, and that concerns giving. Going back to the New Testament there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul clarifies that giving is indeed an act of worship, part of our worship on the first day of the new week. Over in 2 Corinthians, though, he clarifies the manner and the opportunity in which we as Christians should approach giving. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there. This is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll start at verse 6 here. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So although giving is a commanded act of worship on the first day of the new week, we know the heart and mindset that we as Christians should have as we have that opportunity to give back, especially when you think about all that the Lord has blessed you with, you know, not only your food and clothing and shelter, but, you know, your talents, as we say it, right? Your ability to go out and earn a paycheck or, you know, be able to earn that and provide for yourself. So that's something, brothers and sisters, as we have that opportunity to give back to Christ, let's keep in mind all that He's blessed us with, and that'll help us to make sure we have that right heart and right mindset now as we give back. So before we give that opportunity, let's go to God and offer thanks for this opportunity to give. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before Your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just so mindful and thankful for all of the many, many blessings of life that You've bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. We know that they're too numerous to even try to count, Father, but we know that all these things come from Thee, Lord, and we're so thankful unto Thee for them. And Father, as we have this opportunity to give back to You, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we each have that right heart, that right mindset, Father, a willing and cheerful heart, Father, and that any contribution that's offered, Father, will help to further the work of the church and broaden the borders of Your kingdom here, Lord, Father. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 920. 920. That would be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 703. 703. Sing the first and last verse, and I'd like to ask those that can't stand, to stand. 1 and 3.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we long for, now possess humbling your heart to God, save from the tempting ground, seek the way pilgrims try, Christians go away. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, may He will be there. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise, righteously in the sky, going where no one has ever found. Troubles will soon be over, happy forever. Will we be all that shall free from all care? Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we sing, well, by And Jesus has come and gone, morning or night or noon, many will hear there too. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise, righteously hailing on the sky. Oh, England, oh, what God, heavenward bound. And Jesus is coming, morning or night or noon, many will be there too. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise, righteous be in the sky. Oh, we pray, Lord,
morning. Scripture reading this morning is coming from Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the title of this morning's sermon is Miracle on Straight Street. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And now, our brother Gilbert.
Good morning, everyone. It is a delight to see everyone this morning, and certainly it is a blessing to be not only in the Lord's house, but to be on our way to the land of the living. I think you can all agree with me when I say that God has been good to us. Yes, He has. I realize and I recognize that we all go through trials and tribulations. You know, sometimes we have trouble in our way, but God is still good to us. Sometimes we have trouble in our homes, but God is still good to us. Sometimes we even have trouble in God's church, and God is still good to us. We just want to thank God for all that He does in our lives. This morning, we want to say welcome to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, and some of our members who've been away. It's good to see our sister Sharon English back with us, and others as well. And those who are visiting, we are certainly happy you've come our way. We hope this visit will be so good that you're going to decide to come back again. We look forward to getting to know you. We always invite our visitors. Now, the lesson for today, I want to use as a reference a very familiar movie that is shown during the holiday season. That movie is entitled Miracle on 34th Street. And in that movie, there is a gentleman that plays Santa Claus in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This Santa Claus sets about trying to renew the townspeople's attitude, trying to renew their spirit of Christmas. Because there's something that's missing. There's something that's low in their spirit concerning Christmas. It is a very touching movie, and very heartfelt. Well, I'm not going to talk to you today about a miracle on 34th Street, but there is a miracle in God's Word that I do want to talk about. This miracle that I want to share with you today is also a very touching miracle. It's also a very moving miracle. And it's my hope and my prayer that today, as we talk about this miracle on Straight Street, that it will help to renew our spirit. It will help to renew and rekindle our attitude toward God. In the book of Acts, the chapter 9, verse 1, we read this familiar story of one Saul of Tarsus, who was one of the most feared persecutors of Christians in his time. The Bible says that he was on his way to Damascus to bind up Christians, to take them to be persecuted. Verse 11 says, "And the Lord said unto Ananias, Rise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind up all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Today, my subject, based on verse 11, Miracle on Straight Street. Miracle on Straight Street. As I talk about this miracle on Straight Street, I want to talk about four things today. I want to talk about God's power, God's purpose, God's plan, and God's providence. For you see, when I look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see the power of God to change men's lives. I see this miracle on Straight Street, and I see the power of God to transform lives. Here was a man, an evil man by all accounts, one of the most feared persecutors in all of the land. He was so feared that Ananias was afraid to go to him because his reputation preceded him. For you see, Saul was very good at what he did. But God had some other plans for Saul. We come into contact with Saul in Acts chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen, one of God's martyrs. In Acts chapter 7, verse 56, the scripture says, "And behold, I see the heavens open." This is Stephen talking here. "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and hailing women, committing them to prison. Saul was a notorious individual, yet when it came to the power of God, he was converted. He's now Paul. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Not that it was the power, but it is the power. Not that it ought to be the power, but it is the power. Not that it should be, not that it's going to be, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the power. That's the power of the gospel. You know, when I look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see that the gospel is powerful. Powerful enough to take a persecutor and make him a preacher. Powerful enough to take a punisher and make him a proclaimer of the gospel. Powerful enough to take a sinner and make him a saint. God is in the life-changing business. We often say that God is omnipotent, that he's all-powerful, and he is. But do we really believe that we serve an all-powerful God? Because many times by our actions, it's just like we don't really believe, and we don't really have the faith and the trust. Just to believe that God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and why he wants. That's the power of the gospel. There was a singer, had a gospel song, and said, "We need to stop going to God, telling him how big our problem is. We need to go to our problem and tell him how big our God is." God is powerful. You see, the only shackles on God we put on him. We limit God, limit his power because of our manhood, because of our pride. But God's power is limitless. We need to let God work in our lives. We need to turn it over to Jesus. We need to let go. We need to let God have reign in our lives. Now, when I look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see God's power. Not only do I see the power of God in this miracle on Straight Street, but I see God's purpose in this miracle on Straight Street. Saul was chosen by God for a purpose. He was chosen to bear his name. So as we look at this account in Acts chapter 26, there is also another account of this same event in Acts chapter 22. It says, "But arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto you." God had a purpose for Saul. And that was to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got news for us here today. He has a purpose for us as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are chosen for a purpose. We are to go forth, tell about God, tell about Jesus, tell about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our purpose in this life, to do the will of God. When we submit to God's will, we're going to have no trouble understanding our purpose. When we understand our purpose on earth, we realize that we're not just here to have fun and hang out. We are here for a purpose, and we are here to see to our fellow man and spread the word of the gospel. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And when we understand our purpose, we will have no trouble understanding what we are to do. And we know that this house here, this earthly tabernacle, it's going to dissolve, but we're going to get a building one day not made with hands. It's going to be eternal. Eternal in heaven. That is our purpose. When we look at this miracle on Straight Street, we see God's purpose in our lives. And when we look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see God's plan. Mankind from the beginning, because of sin, separated himself from God. Because of sin, that was a wedge that was driven between God and mankind. So there had to be some kind of mechanism. There had to be some kind of means, some way of reconciling man back to God. Some plan for redeeming man. God had to get man back to him. That's none other than the plan of redemption. What is that plan? It's the same plan that old Saul had to use when he obeyed. For you see, although God appeared to Saul miraculously, he was not saved until he committed himself to that gospel plan. The Bible tells us that we are to hear the word, believe in the word, repent of our sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That is God's plan for mankind. That's what Saul had to do. Even then, he had to do that. He had to be obedient to the gospel to be redeemed and reconciled before he could be brought back into Christ. Every man, every woman who has reached the age of accountability, in order to be of good standing when you stand before God, you must submit to that plan of redemption. That's the only plan he left. We call it sometimes the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption. He's counting on us. You see, that's the only plan that he left for man to obey. There's nothing miraculous about obedience. There's no sinner's prayer that we can utter. There's no laying on of hands on the TV or radio to get this gospel. We must obey the same gospel that Saul did. Everyone here today, we must accept it. If we expect to make heaven our home, we've got to follow this one plan. There's only one plan. You know, a lot of times we talk about God being a just God or a fair God. Well, you know, if God would let you do one thing and me do something else and somebody else do something else, that wouldn't be fair. But I don't know how much more fair you could be than to ask everybody to do the same thing. Let's hear the word, believe the word, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That is God's plan of redemption. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 16, Ananias was talking to Saul. He said unto him, Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and washed away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, for a man to hear and to obey the gospel, to go out and tell others about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16 says, Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's that easy. Either you believe it and obey it, and you're saved, or you reject it, and you're lost. That's God's plan. And when we see, and I look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see God's plan of redemption. That plan, baptism for the remission of sin. Well, will you face trials and tribulations afterwards? Sure you will. But the thing about it is God has promised he's not going to leave us. He said, never leave us, never alone. Finally, as we look at this miracle on Straight Street, we looked at God's power, we looked at God's purpose, we looked at God's plan, and finally we're going to look at God's providence. For you see, God needs to intervene in our lives sometimes to keep us from going down the wrong path. Here was Saul on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. But then there was God's providence. God stepped in, interrupted Saul on his trip. Saul didn't have any idea that he was going to have an encounter of that kind with God, which would change his life forever. I don't know about you, but I need God in my life. I need his providence. We all need God's providence in our lives. You know, sometimes we go left when we ought to be going right. Sometimes we go down when we ought to be going up. Sometimes we're doing this when we ought to be doing that. Sometimes we go here when we ought to be going there. We need God's providence in our lives. Old Jeremiah said in the long ago, chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we need God's providence in our lives. We need God to order our steps. Proverbs writer said in Proverbs chapters 3, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? He shall direct your path. We need God to direct our path. We need God to direct our steps. You know, we think we've got it all figured out with all of the planning that we do, and we still make the wrong decision. We need God. We need him to intervene just like he did with Saul. We need God. We need him to order our steps. I don't know what you are planning to do for the rest of this year and into next year, but I know one thing for sure. Whatever you do, you better ask the Lord to order your steps. You might be here today planning a new job. That's fine, fine and dandy. But you better say, Lord, order my steps. You might be here today planning to get married soon. All right, congratulations. That's all right. That's wonderful. But you better say, Lord, order my steps. You might be here planning to start a new relationship. You better say, Lord, order my steps. Lord needs to order our steps. You might be here today planning to move somewhere else because you don't like the way things are going around here. That's your business, but you better say, Lord, order my steps, right? You might have all the money that you think you need, But you still need to say, Lord, order my steps. You might have several degrees, more degrees than you really need, but you still better say, Lord, order my steps. You might be here today and you have a good job. But you know that good job can be here today and overseas tomorrow. That's why you better ask God to order your steps. I read of a man by the name of David in the Bible. David, they say, was a man after God's own heart. The Bible said he was the chosen king of Israel. The Bible said David killed 10,000, whereas Saul only killed 1,000. But David even realized he needed God to order his steps. That's why he said in the 23rd Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What are you saying, David? I need God to order my steps. I need a shepherd to lead me along the way. I need somebody to order my steps. No, when I look at this miracle on Straight Street, I see God ordering his steps. David said he'd lead me beside the still waters. What is he doing, David? He's ordering my steps. When you face death, you've got God on your side? Don't worry. If God is on your side, you don't need to worry. Because God is ordering your steps. There may be somebody here in this audience who has been at the point of death, or you know someone who has been at that point of death. You know how when the doctors walk out of the room shaking their head and looking down and saying there's nothing else we can do? Got news for you. God can reach down and touch that person and say, I'm not finished with him yet. If you got God, you've got all you need. So, I've got a purpose. We all have a purpose. Paul said, all things work together for good for those that love God, those who are called to his purpose. So all we got to do is turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over. Don't hold on to those problems. Let him handle it. He said he would. So when you think about this miracle on Straight Street, remember, God's power, God's plan, God's providence, God's purpose. You know, we've talked about a miracle on Straight Street today, but there could be a miracle right here on Cross Street today as well. All you've got to do is take that step. If you're afraid to walk down that aisle, raise your hand. I'll come and escort you down myself. Let me appeal to those who have not given that gospel plan of redemption a choice. You don't want to leave here today not knowing where you're going to spend eternity. No, that's a dangerous thing if that's what you're planning to do. You have an opportunity right now. How do you know God's providence is not in effect right now? How do you know he hasn't ordered your steps to be here in this service today so that you can respond to this invitation? You don't know. God is looking out for us when we don't even know he's looking out for us. So if you're here today, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice. Make that choice today for Jesus, while together we stand and sing.
Just as I am, I'll be Well,